maybe just for a little while to bring out just a couple of thoughts, maybe. What we're going to read, I know familiar, but over in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'd say probably as familiar of a scripture and a chapter probably as they is in the Word of God, speaking of faith and these different men and women of faith. But thank you, Jay. Just got maybe just a few thoughts tonight about the 23rd verse, maybe where we'll start reading. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, 23rd verse, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and the Egyptians as saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days." And I'll stop right there. I thought a lot this week on Moses, and just seemingly every day this week our heart's been on Moses. And thinking about the beginning of Moses' life and how that his parents came together. They bore this child, and his mother prepared the ark and laid him there in the bulrushes, and how that Pharaoh's daughter saw this, and he was brought to her and was raised in Pharaoh's house, and thought a whole lot on those things. And this verse just kept ringing in her heart, that 25th verse, saying that he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And thought just a whole lot on that. And you think about that word, and that's what stood out to me, that word rather. And I kept thinking on that, and that word means with better liking, with preference, or choice. And the word refuse means to decline, to accept what is offered. And I thought about that as Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a choice to suffer with God's people. And he rather had that. He saw a liking and a preference in suffering rather than he did in the pleasures. And he refused some things in this life. He declined them, and he said, "No, I'm not going to have those things." And I thought, and we went back over, and you can go over into Luke if you would with me for just a minute. And just pray for just a little bit over in the book of Luke, about the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. You can read some other familiar scriptures here that Jesus Himself was speaking here. And you can read in about the 27th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. He said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, and when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately." And I'll stop there for just a minute. In that 31st verse, he says there, again, there's that word rather. Another word, prefer this. He said, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And you think about Moses over there in that day, and the faith that his mother and father had when he was born, and we read there in the 11th chapter, the faith that they had to lay their son and spare him from what was coming his way. They took the only thing they knew to do, and they laid him in an ark, and they hid him from the things that was going to kill him, Darrell. There was a king that had orders out to kill all the young men and all the Hebrew men and the boys. And the only thing they knew to do was to hide him in this little old ark that didn't look like much. And they had faith to do that. And you get to looking at Moses' life from that time forward because of the faith of his parents. And I'm just going to take my time. You just bear with me. Because of the faith of his parents, Moses didn't die. It may have looked a little bleak at times. It may have looked like it was hopeless, maybe. But this little old ark that didn't look like much carried that child long enough till he could be spared from it. And then he was brought out of that down there, and he was put right into Pharaoh's house. But the whole time he was in Pharaoh's house, Darrell, he was nursed by his mother. He was cared for by the one that had faith enough to lay him in that ark. Hey, sometimes, you know, it's hard. I can't even imagine, and you just know how I am. I tried to get into the mind of this mother and this father, how hard it would be to take my child, this little infant child, and lay it down in that ark. Hey, and put it out there in them bulrushes. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, they had faith that was mentioned of in the book of Hebrews. They had faith. They
saw something that was going to come forth from this child one day. And they saw him brought out of them bulrushes and placed right in the arms of the enemy. Right in the household of the very one that wanted his life. Thank God. Didn't leave that little child that somebody put faith in. God didn't leave that child alone. No, he put the mother right there with him. And she fed, she nurtured, and she taught that child. I guarantee you, every day I've preached it before about Moses. I believe that that mother taught him, and I believe she whispered in his ear every day about the goodness of God. I believe that she fed him down, and I believe she loved him up, knowing that every evening she had to lay him right back in the hands of the world. Right back in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. But there were some parents that chose rather. They preferred to trust God than to trust the world. They chose rather, to suffer a few things. Maybe having to leave that child in a place where they didn't like to. Maybe having to go against what the old flesh thought it should do. But they had to trust, and trust rather, trust God than to trust their own life and their own opinion. And in doing so, they laid that child there and they watched him grow up. They watched him being taught by the world, but the whole time they knew, Melba, that they had instilled something down in him through the faith that they had in their God. And as Moses grew, he came to a time in his life where it was time for him to choose rather. Either to enjoy the pleasures of Pharaoh's house, or to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And when it came his time to choose, because of the faith of that mother and father, that they had laid him in the hands of God, and they had laid him in the trust of God and the one that can deliver him. In that time right there, it came to a place in Moses' life where he could choose whether he was going to be in Pharaoh's house. I want you to understand something there when we read. Hey, consider them lilies. Consider them things. He said that those lilies, those things was arrayed with more than what Solomon had. Hey, Solomon had the riches of this world. Solomon had everything this world could offer. But yet them lilies was arrayed and more beautiful than Solomon. I want you to understand something. Moses, if he had chose Pharaoh's house, he could have been arrayed for a while in a temporary season in the things of this world, and he could have looked like that he had it all. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot today striving for their children to have the riches of Pharaoh's house. There's a lot today that's hoping that your child grows up to have all the riches of this world. The only thing Moses' parents ever had hope in is that he would live. Is that he would live. Do you think they placed him in them bulrushes? Do you think they placed him in that old ark that was pitched? That old ugly looking thing? Hey, do you think that they placed him in that of hopes of him gaining the riches of this world? No, that was something that was created just to spare him for a little while. Hey, until God could deliver that child into adulthood. Hey, I promise you, church. Hey, we need to keep allaying our youngins. We need to keep allaying our objects. It may not look like much to this world, but I promise you, hey, after I lay them in the bulrushes, hey, and to lay them in, hey, the hands and the arms of Pharaoh's house. I don't want them to have the riches of this world. I want them to have faith in God. And that day there's a king rose up that didn't remember Joseph. And the children of God, he was afraid of them, and he started trying to afflict them. And he come up as a king there, that's the father of Pharaoh's daughter, that Moses was laid right into that house. And you want me to tell you what would have happened when that king died, if Moses would have stayed in that house? That next one that had come up would have wanted him out of there. He had chose to stay in the house of Pharaoh. There had come a day when he had suffered for who truly was. We're everyone born into this world we didn't see him. And old devil, he'll make you think he wants you. He wants you. And he wants you to be part of his little party. There's going to come a day when he don't want you no more. And he'll just soon see you dead as anything else. I seen him today. Talked to a few different people, and say this, I don't know it. I'm watching lives of people that's choosing rather to have Pharaoh's house. And it's choosing the pleasures of this world for a season. And I watch them spiraling, and I see them getting more miserable and more miserable every day. There's only so much pleasure that you can find in this world. And it'll only get you through for just a season. I'm glad I can testify today to a young lady. I got something better this world's got. It may not look like much, but I've done something for just a little while in what I got. Let me enjoy what this world's offering. Right, you'd rather to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's going to feed me. David said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed to make bread, did he? God's going to take care of us, Melvin. All I'm doing is just passing through this life, Tommy. I don't need riches. I don't need fame. I don't need glory. I just need Jesus. And it's my Father's good pleasure to give of me the kingdom, to give me everything that heaven holds. As I talked to that lady today on the phone there, it felt so good to be able to tell her, I don't need this world. I don't need what it's got. And I can see what is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Hey, it's an invisible thing to this world. Hey, they can't understand it. Hey, people don't want to put their trust in something that they can't get a hold of, that they can't reach out and get. They put their hope, Tommy, in a dollar. They put their hope in the things of this world. means faith. He believed him. Everyone you read of in that 11th chapter died in faith, believing, never receiving the promise. How was Moses so able to get a hold of faith? I believe he saw it in Mama. I believe he saw it in the mother. And when it came down to it, I don't read where it was a hard choice for Moses. I really don't. I don't read where that he had to struggle with what was right, because he'd been taught. He'd been led, and he'd been walked in front of him there. God help some of our parents and some of our grandparents and some of this people are walking in this world that they are putting their people in the ark and safety of God. And they're not exercising faith. They're not using faith. And you want me to tell you why it's so hard anymore to win it, or I don't want to say it like that, to win anybody over, but to convince anybody of the goodness of God, Lee Pete? You want to know why it's so hard? Because we've got Christians that's laid down on their faith in their God. Hey, and then when it comes time for their child, their grandchild, hey, to pick up faith, they can't. Because there's not been that example set before them of a good godly mama, a good godly daddy, a good godly grandparent. Oh, ye of little faith. God help our faith to get stronger and stronger and stronger in our life. What's it going to matter? Do you realize the faith that started in this man and woman to lay their child out there in a scary looking place? I don't know exactly what that country's like, but I just assume there's probably alligators, there's probably snakes, there's probably everything in the world right out there where they laid that young. But they had faith in God, in what they laid him in. They had faith in God that he's going to deliver. Church, let's have some faith in our God. These objects we got, let's have faith in God. We might look like we're laying them right out here in a scary place, but I promise you, you got faith in one that can deliver. And what does it matter? This man Moses, they saw something proper in him. And as he went on and he grew and it came to an age, he finally saw that it was time to choose to suffer a little bit in the things of this world. And you read on down where Moses suffered, and where he went on down and he ended up, God chose him to lead a people that was in a bad place under affliction of the hand of Pharaoh. And God chose Moses. Why do you reckon he chose Moses? Because Moses had faith in his life. These ones we're praying for. Moses' parents knew what they was afflicted in their day. But I don't know that they had a clue of what was coming on in the next generation. They knew their afflictions. They knew what they were suffering. But I don't think they had a clue how hard it was going to get on the people of God. Church, today, we think we're suffering. We think we're afflicted. Hey, we ain't got a clue what's coming to the next generation if time tarries. These young men, these young ladies that's sitting in here, bless God, let them see our faith strong. Let them see us standing bold in the day and hour we live in. Let them see us upholding. Let them see our light a-burning. Moses faced a terrible day in his generation. And by the faith that he saw in his parents, it multiplied in his life. And by choosing to suffer with the people of God rather than to have the pleasures of Pharaoh's house for a season, I want you to listen. In the third chapter of the book of Exodus, about the 11th verse, it said, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I like there where God told him, he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God your father of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And you know what God was doing right there? He was telling Moses, you tell them these others, that those others is mentioned over there in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews 2. He was telling them, your father Abraham, hey, he had faith. Hey, Isaac had faith. Hey, Jacob had faith. You tell them that their father, that's the one that's sending you, Moses. Ain't you glad we've got some heroes of faith? Ain't you glad we can look back and see some of our forefathers? Hey, they several mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hey, but I'm telling you what, I can go back in my mind in my short lifespan, hey, and I've got a few heroes of faith. Hey, that I can go back. I saw Henry Rice live this life. I saw it proved to be true. Hey, we saw Harold Cable live this life. It proved to be true. Hey, there's another generation coming on behind me and you that better see Dean Rice trust the faith in the God he serves, so that they know this will work. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Listen, go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Listen, and I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. You want to know why it's important to have faith? If Moses' parents hadn't had faith in God, Moses could have died in that generation. God used that man to preach to the next generation.
and to preach hope unto them. Then what he told him right there, he said, God told him, said, you tell them that the Lord God of your fathers. And he went on down that 17th verse. He said, that I will bring you up out of the affliction. When you talk to anybody anymore, all they want to do is talk about the affliction. All anybody wants to talk about is how hard it is, how troubling it is, how bad it is. I just don't know what we're going to do. Hey, I'm thankful today that I've got a gospel I can preach unto them. I'm thankful today through the same faith that Moses had, I can preach the same word. Hey, I ain't got good speech. I ain't got good ways of explaining things. Hey, but I can say the God of my fathers, the same one that promised Abraham, the same one that promised Isaac, the same one that promised Moses, he will bring you up out of your affliction. And he will bring you unto a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That's hope to me. That's hope to this world. God clothed the lilies, the grass of the field, and gave it beauty for its time here on this earth, knowing that one day it was going to be burned in the fire. And he arrayed it even greater than Solomon. Why? Because that lily trusted in God for its beauty, for its life. And you give me and you something to consider. You're looking at something that's just blooming for a little while. You're looking at a fading flower that one of these days off. This here's going to burn what you're looking at. This old flesh body is going back to the dust from whence it came. And one of these days, there's a fire coming to this earth, and it said even the elements of the air would melt with a fervent heat. This that you're looking at is going to burn just like the grass of the field. Hey, but I promise you this, I've been arrayed down on the inside with a beautiful garment. Hey, that'll never fade. That'll never burn. Hey, I'm thankful for what I got on the inside. My Father promised me He wanted me to have, and He gave me the kingdom. And through faith, I can look past this world. I can see things that the natural eye's not seen, that the natural ear's not heard, and it ain't even entered into the heart of man what God's prepared. I got something better in this world. And I'm going to die, and I'm going to get a hold of that one of these days. It's only been mentioned by the younger person that died. I don't know women, Nina. I'm going to leave her tonight. But I'm ready. Naked I come in this world, and naked I'll leave it. I got born, I don't know if my parents at the time I was born, as they say, had two nickels to rub together. I don't know. I know me as a child, I had nothing. But I'm going to tell you about a night when I was 12 years old. See, did you understand? I know I didn't have nothing, didn't I? Reality had set in on me, and I know I didn't have nothing. Laying there in a little old bed up in Robinson Cove. Didn't have nothing on but my drawer tail. Laying there in the bed and dying and going to hell. My mom and dad could have been millionaires. I want you to understand that. My mom and dad, just because I grown up with nothing, that ain't why I got saved neither. Mom and dad could have owned thousands of acres of land. They could have had servants upon servants in this world. And that night, hey, I would have still died and went to hell without Jesus. Right.
It didn't take my wealth and it didn't take my riches. It didn't take their wealth and their riches. What did it take, preacher? It took faith. It took faith. A little man by the name of Henry Rice, I believe he's been laying me in the bulrushes. I don't doubt it a bit when that man hit his knees every night. I believe he prayed for every grandchild he had. I believe he prayed for every child he's got. And they still, some of them today, are walking lost in this world. But I promise you, I don't doubt one bit that that man laid us in the bulrushes. Hey, I will tell you something too. I growed up. Hey, and there come a time in my life when I was 12 years old, I had to choose rather to suffer a few afflictions in this life. I had to want God above the things of this world. Up to that point, all I wanted was pleasure. All I wanted was to do what I wanted to do. But that night right there, I saw I needed Jesus. That is what our people's going to have to see. There's a song, and I thought about it as I studied this. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. The most priceless things in this world, I'd rather have Him. Yes. As people die, Julian, on their deathbed, trying to make another dollar before they leave here. Trying to gain another earthly possession before they leave here. And you know how they die? Naked and lost in their sins. And lift their eyes in hell. They trade the things of this world for their salvation, for life. And why? Maybe they had a mama and a daddy that chased everything in the world. I won't tell you, it comes down to the choice. It was Moses' choice. But you want me to tell you something that helped him to have a good influence on what he chose? Somebody that lived in front of him. You look at our nation today, and I ain't trying to be critical, but I'm just telling the truth. Everybody's chasing everything in this world. Lee used to talk about that old sheep. See, he's got that old ugly black sheep that's just as dirty and nasty. It won't let nobody get next to it. Boy, when that thing got down to where it couldn't get up, it let you get hold of it, didn't it? That's where our people's got to get today. They've got to get down to where they can't get themselves up no more. They'll let God get hold of them. We got a generation of people today that's chasing everything but God. And they better see us giving a few things up in this world so that we can walk closer with God. That's what Moses did. Jesus. Because without Him, there's no hope. Moses chose wrath to suffer a few things. A lot of people make this way seem hard. They really do. Think Moses suffered even more affliction than he would have had when he lived in Pharaoh's house? I'll tell you, he suffered less. You keep reading on over in the book of Exodus. When Pharaoh refused and had come against the people of God hard,
God's people fared well during that time. God's people fared well during that time. They suffered with frogs. They suffered with lice. They suffered with locusts. God's people fared well during that time. But when it came down to death, the death angel passing by, everybody had to have the same thing on the doorpost and the limit. It was required all the way from the dungeons up to Pharaoh's house, all the way down to the children of Israel. Church, I promise you, we'll fire better than this world does by staying with God. When it comes down to the end, God's going to require the blood on better doorposts and better limbs, just like He does on mine. But I promise you, you stay with God, and it may look like we're being afflicted. It may look hard to us, but I promise you, God's hand will be right there with us, and He'll carry us through everything there is. Pharaoh, he was willing to spend another night in the pain and agonies of things, rather than surrendering to God. What was he doing? He rather would have the face of this world than to have peace with God. I'm going to say this. I thought this while I was studying this. You look at our world today, and you see people that's claimed Jesus in their life. And what are they choosing? Rather to have this world than to have Jesus. You know what you can't do? You can't serve God. Amen. You know what you're going to have to do? When you choose rather to suffer, you show me where Moses was able to go live in Pharaoh's house again. Can you find it in there, Darrell? I don't see where Moses went to live back to Pharaoh again. I sure don't. You never chose Jesus. You've ever had, and you can't live in Pharaoh's house and stay there. You can't live in the pleasures of this life and find peace and joy there. You're going to have to come back when you're supposed to live. That's what worries me. And this year will strike. I know it will. There'll be a lot of people may not like it. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people that ain't went back to the world. They never left it.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that ain't went back to the world. They never left. They never chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. They just chose to come down here and see what it was all about. I can't go back, church. I live in an old sinful, wicked flesh that fails every day, that comes short every day. But I promise you this, I've got a God that lives down on the inside of me that tells me every time I do it. And I can't stay there. Wrong thought runs through your mind. Anger boils up in you. And this something will grab a hold of you, son. This something will let you know you don't live like that. It's the truth whether anybody likes it or not out here. It really is. Not because I said it. Old things are passed away. The old dog things are coming in. I want my kids to see the real thing. I want them to know what real salvation is. I want them to know what real faith is. People that trust God more than they trust our government, more than we trust our doctors, more than we trust this world. And I ain't telling you to be somebody going around here saying, I don't need medicine. I don't need this. I'll trust God. I'm going to tell you, God gives us a few things to help us along. He don't tell me to lay down and die. There's a few things to help us in this life, and we just have to trust God. Remember this, but don't you put your faith in your doctor. Don't you put your faith in His government. You trust God.
and follow the leadership of the Spirit
and the guidance that comes from Him. I wonder what we'd rather this morning
or tonight. I'll read that definition again. With better liking, with preference or choice. And to refuse something is to decline to accept what is offered. You know what Moses done? He chose to decline what this world had to offer. And he preferred to make his choice with God. That's what I want our children to do. It'll work. I thought tonight on the way to church, I thought how the time that we're in right now, and I thought about the lack of hearing of revivals. I thought about the lack of hearing of good godly services going on in different places. I thought about the decline. I guess maybe it's the word that I'm looking for in hearing these things. My mind got to wondering back to some of the good revivals that we've been in, remembering seeing things and people getting saved and altars full and things of that nature. Where's our faith? Oh, ye of little faith, do we have faith in our God? Is He any different today than He was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 2,000 years ago? He's no different. He's no different. What causes the difference in our manner of worship? Our faith. Our faith. You go back and you read that 11th chapter and let it encourage you in the Lord. God delivers. God will get the job done. If we keep our faith in Him. He delivered Moses. He delivered the children of Israel. I want you just to think. We quote this, and I'm going to be quiet here in just a minute. We talk about this. We quote this. We talk about them crossing the Red Sea. And we talk about them things. And it's just become a story to us. It's just become Pharaoh's army getting swallowed up in the sea. And it's like some fairy tale we've heard all of our life. My God, do you realize the God we serve parted waters? And they walk through on dry ground? That's my God. He can do it. He will do it again. That it looks so deep that our people can't cross through to get to God, don't you think He can't part that in front of them? Don't think they're going to get stuck in the middle of crossing because they're going to be stepping on dry, solid ground. God can make a way, church. How do you know, preacher? I'll tell you again. 12 years old. Mom and Daddy's been out of church since I was probably about 3 years old. Hadn't been in a church since that time in my life, maybe once or twice, that I can remember of from the age of 3 to 12. Some little old man by the name of Henry Rice had put me in the bulrushes. God come down in a little trailer up in Robinson Cove. There wasn't a steeple on it. There wasn't nothing else around there that would make it look recognizable as a church. Hey, but I promise you, the altar of God was right there present with me. Don't you think God wasn't parting some waters? Don't you think that my back wasn't up against the sea and it didn't look like there was no way out? Hey, the enemy was pressing upon me. Hey, I can get excited in that. Right there where it looked like there wasn't no hope, Tammy. God made a way. That it looked like it was as seemingly impossible for me to get across.
The Lord opened it up. How did He open it up? Through faith. Through faith. You want to know how it's going to open up to our people? Through faith. How did Elijah part them waters? He smote it with his mantle. How did Elisha come back through and get across it? He used the same mantle and he smote the same waters the same way Elijah did. He learned something, didn't he? By watching the faith of another.
Preacher, what are you doing? I'm smiting the waters with the mantle. Same way I've seen it done in the past, and the same way it worked before. Take the Word of God and the Spirit of God and smite the waters, Darrell. And the sea's going to part, and our people is going to come to God. Our people's going to cross into the promised land.
You know what's going to happen to the end? He's going to get consumed. And he'll not be on your heels.
I promise you that. God will deliver.
I don't know about nobody else, but I'm encouraged.
I thank God.
There's another song that they used to sing, Jesus is a way maker. You remember that, Shandy?
I'm glad. He's a way maker.
When it don't seem like there's no way and there's no hope. Allison sung that song, Jesus is hope when there is no hope.
We've got a God that can deliver, church. He will deliver. Let's keep our faith in.
He brought the walls of Jericho down. He parted Jordan. He parted the Red Sea.
He delivered when it looked like that there couldn't be any deliverance. That's my God. And I'm going to choose rather to serve Him than to have the pleasures of this world.
God help me. I love you.
I appreciate you. I don't know nobody's heart tonight.